Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today will be David Hulley and Giannis Genaeus. This episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Rotherham United. For that, we will be discussing the latest Fulham news and speculation, and we do have some breaking news that happened today, so we will be talking about that. But before we do anything, I have to welcome one of my co-hosts who's on the line with me right now. David, how you doing, my friend?
I was so just choking on a bit of codeine there almost. I'm not sure if I need it to get me through my pain or to get me through talking about Fulham for an hour, but either way, I'm here for now anyway. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back, David. Listen, you know, I appreciate you doing this with me. I hope it takes some time away from what's going on with you. And all I want to say, and I, you know, again, I want to speak for many people because I know many people feel the same way that I do. I just hope you get better soon, my friend.
Saying, I don't think I did myself any favours going to Craven Cottage last Saturday in 30-degree heat, but it was at least the 90 minutes or so I was sitting there watching the game, I felt fine. It was just the getting there and then getting back, which was difficult. But at least we didn't lose 2-1, as we've done when I've not been there. We sneaked the last-minute goal, and it made the afternoon a bit better anyway.
Well, listen, it's, you know, it's all about your return, David. You know, you gave them some good luck. At least they got a point out of it. You know, you can look at it two ways. You know, again, at least it's something. But, again, it was disappointing to get a draw against Huddersfield Town. But, you know, we've already talked about that. We've moved on because there's so much to get to. But before we do, David, I also have someone else on the line with us. I want to bring him on who I'm sure wants to say hello to you. Giannis, how you doing, my friend?
Hello, David. Welcome back.
Hello, Giannis, as well.
Giannis, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm good. I've got one hell of a weekend ahead. My team has a provincial semi-final tomorrow afternoon.
That's right.
And then
right.
I've got to move my two girls into university on Sunday. This should be fun.
Wow, you've got so much on your plate, my friend. Well, first of all, best of luck tomorrow, and best of
Thanks
luck for the move.
Thank you very much. Going to need it, I suspect, but we shall see. Hopefully, we can get 3 points up at Rotherham tomorrow to make things a little easier.
I totally agree with you on that, my friend. All right, before we move on, David, why don't you share with us, you actually got a phone call yesterday, so real quickly, share with us who gave you a call.
Yeah, well, the phone went. I mean, the phone goes a lot at the moment because we're getting non-stop calls from doctors and nurses to me and Thomas about things and checking on our progress and like from withheld numbers as well, so we're kind of used to it. Phone went and Christina said it's for you, and I thought, oh, it's from the doctor or something, and he said, you're right, it's Dan Byrne from Fulham. And I did a double take. It just didn't register at first. I said, sorry, but it's Dan Byrne from Fulham. Maybe not quite with that accent, but I knew it wasn't a wind-up because, you know, I speak to the players quite often after matches. And I recognised it was Dan Byrne, and I was just blown away. I mean, I hadn't read that bit on Twitter where they said that they were phoning, because obviously had I seen on Twitter that Dan and Lasser were phoning up season ticket holders at random, then I might have been expecting it. But we had a good chat for about 5 minutes, really, and I even got Thomas on the phone as well, because obviously he'd been prepped. He said, thank you for your support and everything, but I believe both you and your son have been ill, and you know, I want to wish you a good recovery and all that. And we just had a bit of a chat. And Thomas came on the phone for a minute and had a chat to him. And ironically, Dan said to Thomas, who's your favourite player? And Thomas said, Lassie Vicky Christensen. So, of course, we're sitting next to Dan. But Dan said to me, hopefully things will get a bit better this season. I said, well, I hope so too, but I think there needs to be a few changes still. And I said, but we won't go into that, Dan, because, I want to keep this a positive call. And he said, no, I think I agree with you as well, basically. So, I mean, something along those lines anyway. Not maybe it's quite as definite as that, but perhaps he was just humouring me. But do you know what? Out of the players that I've met after the match, he's always been one of the most friendly. He always stops and chats to the fans. He's a very, very down-to-earth guy, which is kind of ironic because he's about 8 foot tall, you know. But he's such a nice chap, and he was quite happy to talk on the phone. In the end, I said to him, okay, Dan, thanks for the chat. I probably better let you go so you can phone someone else. He wasn't, you know, in a hurry to get away at all. you know, he said, I believe you haven't been to the cottage at all this year. And I said, no, actually, I did come last Saturday. I killed myself to come down because I just wanted to see us, even though I live in Lincolnshire, and he didn't realise that. But no, it was a very nice chat. And I know there were phoning people at random, but I think a little dicky bird had a word in someone's ear just to let them know that perhaps I should be picked at random because of, you know, everything I've been through in the last few months. So I do appreciate that gesture from Fulham, you know. Not quite the helicopter that I was asking for last week, but nevertheless, it did really make my day. And, I was chuffed a bit to have that opportunity to have a chat. And the fact that, you know, I genuinely believe what Dan was saying. I don't think he was just reading a script. He wasn't just doing it because Sarah Brooks was standing with a gun to his head. I believe, you know, he's a genuine nice guy. I start to feel more sorry, actually, for the fact that the way Dan's been in and out of the team now, because, actually, when he has played recently, I think he's done very well. And, obviously, the way we're looking is to try and sign more central defenders, which kind of suggests that Dan may be further down the pecking order, which is a shame, because I think what he lacks, perhaps, in pace or ability or whatever his faults may be, he's got, you know, he's 100% heart and he's 100% genuine guy, and I can only wish him the best. And, as I say, for me, I know a lot of fans did get calls or messages left, and I wasn't the only one to get a call. But for me, it really did cheer me up, and it was a great thing to happen. So I really appreciate that from the club and from Sarah or from Nicola, whoever kind of organised. It's brilliant.
Listen, I think it's great. I'm glad that they reached out to you. I'm talking about Dan Byrne and the club and putting them together. That you did get the call and. Like you mentioned, Dan Byrne made calls, so did Lasse Vigan Christensen. I thought it was great for the club to do that to others as well. I've seen all over social media that many fans got calls. I think it was a really nice thing that they did the other day. And I'm, David, seriously glad that you did get that call. I thought, you know, I thought it was very nice of them to give you a call. And like you said, cheered you up where I know that you needed it. So I'm glad that you got that phone call. All right, guys, let's get going. You know, again, I'm taking some stuff out, adding some other stuff, so just be prepared for different stuff. But Giannis, I'm going to start with you, and let's talk briefly. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Let's talk about the Capital One Cup victory, 3-0, against Sheffield United on Tuesday. Fulham get that victory, and now they will face. This is interesting. They're now going to face Stoke City with Mark Hughes and the return of Steve Sidwell. Thoughts on all of this, Giannis?
Well, obviously we'd be delighted to see Sidders. You know, he was a good servant for the club. I mean, the Capital One Cup is it's a shame. I mean, it used to have some luster as a League Cup, but now, you know, when clubs like Arsenal started to put reserve teams out, it seemed to set a pattern. And what was disappointing on Tuesday night is the fact that Sheffield United basically put out a reserve side against us. I'm glad
they
that
did, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad that. Kit to put out a good lineup. It's going to be a good game. I mean, I'm assuming we're going to have more than the 5,900 we had on Tuesday. Bring a bit of money in. I actually fancy our chances to get through that, if only because I'm sure Stoke will put out a decent side, but they won't put out their strongest side. So if Kit wants to use the game as a mode of momentum, it would help. Although, remember what happened to Sheffield United last year with Nigel Clough? They won on that fantastic run. And it really seemed to cost them when they got to the playoffs. So I'm sure Kit will be a little bit leery about the players that he does use for League Cup. He doesn't want to get any injuries long term.
No, good point. You know, again, it's a balancing act, but the league has to come first before these cuts. But again, it was nice to see the victory. You know, again, they did put out a reserve team, let's be honest here, but you still needed to get the victory. I watched it back, and I thought Fulham played well. Overall, it did take them a little bit to get going and to get on top, but in the end, they did do a nice job and got the victory, and now they face Stoke City. And, David, real quick, what are your thoughts about this victory and now facing Steve Sidwell?
Well, you know, the League Cup is maybe secondary to the league, but in this case, we needed a win. It doesn't matter who we're playing or what competition, we needed a win. We're desperate for a win, and so it's very, very welcome. Interesting thing for me, it was a game of two halves again, although it was probably a game of 60-40 almost, because the turning point for me seemed to be when they withdrew Alex Kakanicic and brought on Tom Kearney. But Alex was getting, if you heard the commentary, he seemed to be getting quite a lot of stick from Gentleman Jim and Sean Davis, that he was doing what frustrates us with Alex, that he kind of gets the ball, puts his head down and runs, but then he stops and turns back. He never kind of goes on that run where he takes everyone on and gets to the byline or breaks into the box. And he was getting quite a lot of stick. I'm not sure if that was because maybe he was playing on the right with Pringle on the left in the main and it doesn't suit him. But once Kearney came on, although Kearney's not out and out suited to playing on the right, we seemed to improve. And obviously once we got that initial goal, it all went our way really after that, and it ended up quite comfortable. So it was great. I think the disappointing thing with the cup draw was that there weren't really very many good draws in there. I mean, in this situation, you either hope for, I suppose, someone on paper very easy at home, or a really big tie against a big team, so at least you can get a crowd and have a big match. And there wasn't really that many options. There were a lot of big teams in it, but you know, I was looking at a lot of smaller teams who nearly made it through, you know, and that would have been great to have a potentially easy match at home. And Stoke doesn't really fit in the middle. It's not the kind of tie that excites you, really. Yes, there'd be a few people who still think that Mark Hughes was a terrible man for what he said and walked away, but I think we kind of know difference now. And of course, if Steve Sidwell comes back and plays, there'll be a lot of people who'll be pleased to see him, and I'm sure he'll get a good reception because he's a popular player. But obviously, between now and then, we've got to focus on getting any new players in, and we need to start getting points on the board in the league. And I think perhaps on that night, our selection may depend on how we do in the league in the meantime, and also any injuries that we pick up along the way as well.
No, good points there, David. And listen, it's always good to get a victory and build a little bit momentum, and it all does gear us up for this upcoming match against Rotherham. We will be previewing that shortly, and I'm looking forward to the match tomorrow, believe it or not. I am. I'm looking forward to it. It's obviously a winnable match, and we'll discuss this a little bit later because I'm curious your thoughts, because our Cottage Talk co-host Mike Gregg wrote an article today on Viva El Foam, and basically he's calling this a must-win. He's calling tomorrow a must-win if we are seriously thinking about getting top six. And if you read Mike's article and go through the numbers, Mike makes a great deal of sense. Tomorrow's match is important if you're serious about trying to get into the top six. So we'll definitely talk about that when we preview the match. But, Yanis, I want to get back to you. And let's talk about the signing today. Again, I'm going to play in a few minutes Kit's interview with Sarah. And he mentions about a player, a new signing, potentially playing tomorrow. And I think I know who it is. You know, again, I'm speculating, but I feel confident that it might be this player, because right after the interview was done with Sarah, Fulham made an announcement on the website that they had signed James Husband on a one-month loan from Middlesbrough, and going in the other direction for the year, for the season, is Fernando Amorebieta. Now, what are your thoughts about the signing and also Amorebieta going in the other direction?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, that was the same deal that was done near the end of the year when Husband came to us. So is he looking to use him as the requisite left-back? Obviously, Amorebieta's out of the plans there. It's not a bad pickup, but it's not the one that's really going to sort of have, you know, Fulham fans jumping for glee. It's going to be a minor one, because I think that Husband will be filling that role until Garbutt comes back. So
I agree.
I think what fans are looking for now is, are we going to sign a centre-back? I'm going to say are we, because it sounds like Ream played okay on Tuesday. Now it's a matter of maybe possibly a partnership. And also, in terms of, are we going to maybe pick up another striker or even a wide midfielder? The transfer deadline is only a few days away, but I think a lot of it will be determined by the result tomorrow. And I absolutely agree with Mike. This is the biggest game of the season. It's a must-win. I totally agree. I think if they lose tomorrow, I think Kit's gone. I really believe that. Because if you look at the games we've had to start, you've got to say Cardiff, we got the point. But Brighton really should have been a winnable game. We should have beaten Huddersfield. And Rotherham are at the bottom. So these are games where if you can't beat these teams, you're not beating the Ipswiches or the QPRs, or the Leeds Uniteds, or the Notts Forest, you're not going to do it. So I think it's a massive game.
Listen, I agree with you. I agree with you, Yanis. And
There's a ghost.
I'm sorry, Giannis. Oh, okay. Giannis, just to get back to you, I'm curious your thoughts on this because the minute the move was made for James' husband, this is my thinking. Can you not hear me?
David, yeah, I can hear you. David, are you there? Hello?
Yeah, for some reason David's gone quiet, but I can hear you and David, just dial back in. Well, I'll have David dial back in, but you can hear me, okay?
Yes,
right, Giannis?
Yep, I can.
Okay, fine. All right, because I was wondering what that was all going on, so I'll have David just I'm like hello. I'm like, what's going on? All right, but my question to you again, going back to this whole situation, is really about Tim Ream, because I was thinking, okay, the bringing in James' husband. Now Tim Ream has played left back. This signals to me that Kidd is now going to go with Tim Ream at center back. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and it makes sense. I think he's a better centre-back than he is a left-back. Sounds like he had a decent game against Sheffield United. And, yeah, it's against their reserve team. But he does have experience at this level. So, obviously, you know, he's seen enough in terms of the scouting and the way he played on Tuesday. He had, I thought, a calm and assured performance. So it's now just a matter of who are you going to partner at the back. You know, is it going to be Hutchinson? Is it going to be Bodjarov? Is it going to be Dan Byrne? You know, my preference actually right now would be Dan Byrne. But Ream's obviously done enough, and let's not forget. Really, we've got Kay Vossa at left back,
yep.
But maybe we need a little bit of upgrading there until Garbutt comes back, because Garbutt for me will be the starting left back once he gets back from injury.
I totally agree, and honestly, Giannis, I think this move is about Vossa. If you're asking me, I don't think Kidd's happy with him, and honestly, based on the first 6 matches, I don't blame him. Again, he's not a terrible player, but he's not good enough. And I think bringing in husband is an upgrade, and eventually it's going to be Garbutt. But I think what that also does for you is a lot now allows you to really get Tim Ream involved with a pairing. You know,
yes.
Regardless of who it's going to be, he now can settle into that position, because I think it's pretty obvious now he's not going to be your left back. He's going to be a center back. Now it's just a matter of who's going to be his partner, and there can be several options, and there could be someone else coming in. David, I'm going to bring you back on the line. Sorry about what happened before. Can you hear us now?
Yeah, it's fine, yeah.
Okay. Don't know what happened there before, my friend. But we're talking about the loan move for James' husband. Where do you land on this one?
Well, it's the ideal move, because hopefully the month will be enough time until Garbutt's back. I mean, Garbutt, I would imagine, we have some sort of deal with Everton where really we probably promised to play him short of him being absolutely useless or injured, because that would be part of the deal. Everton obviously want him to get game time while he's out on loan. So he will be first choice once he's fit. But husband, from what we saw last year, he offers so much more than Vossa, you know. He's not only seems to be a decent defensive left back, he was pretty sharp going forward. He gets along, he gets to the byline, he can take people on. And this is the problem we have in the team. We're still a narrow side. Basically, we're playing Pringle, we're playing Kearney. These people aren't wide players. They like to cut inside. You need fullbacks who can overlap, go outside, and you know, get the ball to the byline, pull the ball back, things like that. So he offers a much better deal. Perhaps Kit also took offence to seeing Vossa in McDonald's having a crafty cigarette as well, or whatever the alleged rumours were. Perhaps that was, maybe he broke some policy, but you know, Vossa, I've never really been impressed with him, and that hasn't really changed. Defensively, he's quite weak. Offensively, he's pretty weak as well. So I think it's a pretty clear-cut thing that husband will come in at left-back until, hopefully, Garbutt will be fit by the time the loan runs out. In respect of the central defence, well, Bodaroff won't play tomorrow because he's injured. So it's a straight swap, really, between the three of them, a straight selection. Hutchinson is fit to play, and it makes sense to play him with Ream because it's a right foot and a left footer. But I think it would be terribly hard on Dan Byrne, especially as now he's my favourite player as well, of course.
he played well, David. I watched the match. He actually played well in the last match.
I thought he played. I thought out of the defence, he was the best player actually against Huddersfield as well last week.
Okay.
I know he got nutmegged a bit for the goal, but I thought otherwise he was the best defender that we had. And I think it would be very harsh after he's played with Ream and kept a clean sheet, that he doesn't get to go again. it is a bit unorthodox to have two left-footed central defenders.
I was just about to ask you that. How difficult is it going to be to, you know, again, I understand that you do that in the Cup, but to do that in a league match, isn't that really difficult?
It's a difficult scenario, isn't it, because you can't win. You bring Hutchison in because it's a logical move and play him with either Burn or with Bream, and you have the balance there. But either way, then, you're going to put someone's nose out of joint because you've got someone who, you know, played in a match where we won and we kept a clean sheet, and that seems very unfair. Unless, of course, the husband deal wasn't done in time and they switched Ream to left-back, I don't know. I think husband would have had to have been... I'm sure even on loan they have to be signed by midday. If someone's listening and I'm wrong, please come in and correct me. But I think he has to go through in a certain time, but... They're
right.
Intimating that Husband will play, I think. So, and Husband would be the obvious choice because he is a dedicated left-back, whereas Ream is more of a utility player. But I think the logic would suggest to keep the same central defensive pairing that did well on Tuesday, even how unorthodox that is, having two left-footers there. I mean, quite often when you play with two right-footed centre-backs, don't you? I mean, probably a lot of teams have two right-footed centre-backs. You know, you look at... the other team in Fulham, they have two right-footed centre-backs, so why not have two left-footed centre-backs, you know? We do seem to have a very left-footed heavy squad at the moment for some reason, I'm not sure why. You've got Matt Smith's left-footer, Kakanicic, you know, Kearney, O'Hara, Pringle, you know, we could go through them. I'm sure we've almost got more left-footers than right-footers, so it's quite a strange scenario, but perhaps we need to sign a few more right-footers, but... I think I'd like to see Husband come straight in if he is eligible. And I think the only fair thing to do would be to retain the two at the back. But I understand if he does decide to bring Hutchison in.
Hutchison has played well, David. You know, again, it's like, I guess you could say it's a good problem to have because Dan Byrne is playing better. Sean Hutchison was playing well before he got injured. And honestly, I think Tim Ream's going to be an asset. I think you're going to see over time he really is going to help out for him, especially with his ability to get his foot on the ball and move it out from the back. I think, you know, again, I think he's going to really help us. But, you know, again, it's going to be who's going to be the partnership? Could there be someone else coming in? So, again, the center-back pairing is going to be very interesting moving forward. And as we move on the show, we're now going to talk a little bit speculation talk. But before we do, guys, I have to admit that I was wrong about something. Yes, I was wrong. We can always admit when we're wrong. And on a show, a couple shows ago, I was on with Emilio, and I told Emilio that I was hearing things about a potential signing that would be inspiring. And I'm here to tell you that what I was hearing was, you know, again, more speculation, but it seemed more solid on Lewis Dunk. Well, obviously, Lewis Dunk did not come to Fulham, so what I had heard obviously never came to fruition, so I ended up ultimately being wrong. So I want to just come out and say I was wrong. It's okay to admit when you're wrong, right, David?
No, never.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
I've never been in that situation, Russ.
Yeah, I know.
When I'm in that situation, I'll let you know. But I've never been in that situation so far, so it's hard for me to say.
Oh, boy, David. All right. Okay, Giannis, over to you. We're now going to talk a little transfer speculation, specifically about center backs. And, again, there's been a great deal of talk today, and you know, again, believe what you want to believe. I'm going to read an article from Lyle Thomas, who works for Sky Sports, but also works for West London Sport. This is what he wrote a little while ago, and I'm just going to read it and then get your thoughts on it. Fulham have made an inquiry about Lyon center back Bakary Koné. The Whites are currently assessing their options in their search for a new central defender and made a bid for Nottingham Forest Michael Mancian earlier this week. Forest are discussing whether to accept the offer, and in the meantime, Fulham are looking at other possibilities, including Koné. Fulham were interested in Brentford's James Tarkowski, but were told he would cost £5 million. And again, just a little bit more information on Koné. He has 52 caps for his country and played 18 times for Lyon last season. Now, I've read other things about Koné, you know, talking about speculation of a four-year deal with Fulham. I'm just telling you what I had read here from Lyle Thomas. You can believe what you want to believe, but what are your thoughts about all these different central defenders being linked to Fulham, Giannis?
I'm not at all surprised because the transfer deadline is almost upon us. I mean, the rumor mill is going absolutely berserk at the moment. Having a look at this agenda in terms of, you know, you've got here possibly, you know, James Vaughan or Matej Vydra. There are a lot of players, and I think that, you know, you talked about the Lewis Dunk deal. I don't even think that one is over and done with either. I mean, there's still a possibility. Yes, I do. I think that Brighton may have signed him to the contract, which is fine, but that's not going to necessarily preclude Fulham from trying to get him. It might actually make it easier knowing that there's a contract in place anyway. So I think that may be over and done with. I think that last day, as you know, Russ, is absolute bedlam. You get signings up until and past midnight. So it is interesting that, you know, there's still this compulsion and this focus on getting a centre-back, you know, when we've got centre-backs in place. Clearly, obviously, Kit doesn't fancy them. But the question that I'd ask you is, well, we've had since May. You know, we've just got Tim Ream now. Why are all these rumours flying about now? If there's truth to it, there's no reason to believe there isn't. Why has it taken us 3-4 months to get our keister in gear? Because remember, this is such a tough division, and it is so competitive. You know, and there are clubs out there that have done a lot of really, really good business. And I'll give you an example. The signing yesterday of Joey Barton. I mean, I didn't see that one coming, but Barton's going to be a really good addition to that Burnley lineup. And
I agree with you. Even though I don't like him, I think he's going to be an asset for them.
I do too. And you know, for the only thing is when it comes to transfer deadline day as well, we know we're going to be paying at a premium. And that's the other thing we've got to look at as a club when Khan talks about sustainability. I mean, you know, Coney's a good player. But I mean, Tarkowski worth 5 million. Are they having a laugh? 5 million? Wow. I mean, honestly, I mean, Brentford may think we're stupid, but we're not that stupid, and he's certainly not worth 5 million. But that's the sort of price that's going to be just bandied about because the transfer deadline is a supply and demand market, Russ.
Right.
And you know, if the supply is limited, then guess what? The price is going to go up.
No, I agree with you, Giannis. And what I find interesting, like you said, we're hearing all kinds of names now. And it's because we are getting near to the deadline. But what it also shows to me is that Fulham are leaving all their options open, and they're trying to land one, but they're throwing all the balls up in the air, and whichever ball falls to them, that's the ball that they're going to go with. But they definitely have several options. I find your commentary about Lewis Dunk fascinating, by the way. It didn't even hit me that maybe something else is in play. I don't know if I go with that, but I just find it interesting that you even threw that out there. All right. David, what are your thoughts about all this?
Well, I'm glad I can correct Giannis on one minor point, because by midnight the codeine and morphine has kicked in and I'm well away. Thankfully, the transfer window shuts at 6 p.m. UK time this week,
right.
because it's on. It falls again at the weekend, I think, doesn't it, or something? So, it shuts at September the 1st at 6 p.m. But I think it begs a bigger question, and there's been a lot of debate about it on Twitter. And I think I tend to agree with the general sentiment that maybe the transfer window should actually shut on the first day of the season, because, you know, it makes it a farce. You know, we have, you know, as Giannis has said and everything, we've known since like the start of last season almost that we need new defenders, and certainly since the close season began. Why does it have to be all such a mad bloody rush in the last few minutes? No doubt you end up making sometimes bad signings because you're rushed into it. No doubt you probably end up paying through the nose because people know you're desperate. And it's just a ridiculous scenario. And I think the window should shut at the start of the season. You know, I can understand, obviously, the scenario. You start the season and things go pear-shaped, and perhaps that's where there needs to be some kind of situation for an emergency loan window. You know, a genuine emergency loan window, not QPR signing 15 players on an emergency loan because they realise their team was crap. But, you know, a genuine emergency loan situation. If you lose a goalkeeper, if you lose a key player, like we have even with Garbett. I think, you know, if it was outside the transfer window, you could argue the case that we need to sign someone on loan at left back until Garbett's back. I don't think that's unreasonable. But in the main, I don't know. And yes, you're right, there's loads of balls in the air, and which one's going to drop? And if it, you know, are we going to get the right one? It's like playing the national lottery, really. You could pick any ball from however many there are in the draw, and you might get lucky, you might not. And I find it all kind of, I wouldn't say tasteless, but I find it all a bit inappropriate. And I think the business should be concluded by the start of the season, really, to avoid all this madness.
I totally agree with you, David. I think you're 100% right on that. I back that totally. I wish it was done before the season began I don't think you would get this craziness, you know, at the beginning of September, which I think is insane. But again, it is what it is. We are where we are, David. And before I play Kit's interview with Sarah, real quick, what are your thoughts about the links to strikers? Giannis just mentioned, Fulmer linked to Matei Vidra, James Vaughn. I've also heard another name I'm not going to mention on the show, but I've heard another name recently as well. Do you think Fulham need a striker?
Well, Vidra has been a pretty consistent striker for Watford, and he's probably quite unlucky to be on the periphery there. So he would be someone worth considering if he's available. The big question is, do we need a striker? Obviously, Matt Smith
right.
will be back, hopefully not too long. Dembele just starting to get a run in the team. Will he get better? Maybe. Will it make our style of play better? Perhaps, because we start playing the ball more on the ground and hooking it up. Will it persuade him to sign a contract? If it does, it will be, you know, worth not signing a striker almost in that respect. Because even if we're
right.
going to lose him, at least if we get him on a long contract, we can ask a better price for him. So you could argue that actually we don't want to sign a striker, but the problem we have, and this is, I've said it lots of times, I'm going to say it again, is width and pace. We don't play with enough width and we don't play enough pace. And if we've got James Husband at left back, I'm now going to be looking at Ashley Richards because he doesn't get forward enough for me, especially with Tom Kearney playing that kind of right midfield role. Tom Kearney's always going to come inside. You need the fullback to be overlapping and going beyond. Okay, you need someone in midfield who can cover when he does that. But that's where we're lacking. We need width, players to get round the back to create space for others. Otherwise, we're just trying to plough through the middle. It ends up a little bit like last season when we had the diamond and people can just like counteract us. And I'm not saying we're as narrow as we were last season, but still, you know, I think that's really where I'm looking at. I think we need to be looking at people who can play with width and offer pace.
Okay.
And I don't think the central striking issue is a problem, because I think if we get people getting wide and getting around the back and providing service, McCormack will score, and I even think Dembele will score.
Okay. Very good there, David. And listen, honestly, glad that you brought up the overlapping play. And I was actually talking on the last show about this, about when I was talking to Matt Smith about this. He's not a huge fan of Ashley Richards either. You know, and again, I get why some aren't. But I've noticed him getting more forward, and maybe he will continue to get more and more forward, because I agree with you. They need him to, you know, because if you have Kearney cutting in, you need someone overlapping. So I hope we see that more from him, because I think you're going to see that now on the other side, David, from James Husband in the meantime, before, you know, until Luke Garbutt comes by. I think you're going to see more of that, and I think they need that, honestly. All right. Giannis, real quick, thoughts on strikers?
I mean, Vidra would be a good pickup, but again, I'm going to ask the question, what about Corley Woodrow? You know,
okay.
I mean, last week he came off the bench, he saved our bottoms. I'm not entirely convinced about Dembele. I'm not. I don't think he's a smart enough player. Whereas I think Woodrow is a smarter player. The problem is Woodrow is a subtle player and he's very good at moving into pockets. But if we start sending long ball, that's not going to suit him at all. And that's why, you know, I'm hope that Kit's looking at that tomorrow. One of the things I'm hoping is that Dembele doesn't start. Dembele I think is an impact sub. But I don't think he's a starter. I would start tomorrow McCormack up front with Woodrow. And let's see if we can finally get the sort of service we can. We've seen what he can do in the box. And I was delighted that he got the equaliser last week, because I don't think there's anyone who's deserved it more than he has in terms of his work rate. He's been a bit unlucky, I think.
Okay, very good there, Giannis. All right. All right, guys, I'm now going to play the interview done earlier with Kit Simons. Again, Sarah Brooks does this each and every week. She does a fabulous job. This is a short audio clip, only 3.5 minutes, and then we'll be back to discuss that and really get into our preview, because we only have about 25 minutes left. So we're going to really ramp this thing up. But right now, here is Kit.
Kit, it was a great victory Tuesday night, albeit a Capital One Cup game and not any league points to show for it. But you must have been delighted with the win and a couple of good performances in there.
Yeah, I thought we played well, created lots of chances, should have probably scored more goals than we actually did. But no, it was a good performance and a good win. So, yeah, overall very pleasing. As you say, it's not no league points, but I think, you know, it's certainly confidence boosting and it showed what we can do. You know, it's a game I think we had to go and win, really, where we are at the moment, and we went and did the job. So I was very pleased.
Ryan Tunnicliffe, his first start since coming back from suspension, obviously had a very good game. Will that give you a bit of a headache with Jamie O'Hara now recovered from that sickness that he had on Tuesday?
Gives a little bit of competition for places, which is exactly what you want. You know, Ryan had a good pre-season, was unavailable for the first two games. So that's exactly what you're after. You know, as a manager, it gives you a decision to make, but these are good decisions. You pick them between good players who are in good form, so that's great.
Ross seemed to take a slightly higher line on Tuesday evening, came very close to scoring a hat-trick. Is that more of an effective role for Ross? Are we likely to see him sort of playing that higher up the pitch?
I had a good chat with him on Sunday, Sunday morning, and we spoke about a few different things, and it's a case of sort of just going back to basics, staying high up the pitch and trusting other people to get the ball to him. You know, he's got really good quality, obviously, Ross, and he can be a really good provider as well, but I just spoke to him, you know, we need him up there scoring goals and trusting other people to get the ball to him in good areas, good situations. And we've certainly got players that can do that now. So we had a chat, he took that on board and I think it worked quite well. So I think he was quite pleased with it afterwards and I was very pleased.
Rotherham, six goal thriller, I think it's fair to say, last season.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you're not hoping for another six goals tomorrow.
Six goals for us would be nice. No, he could do about another 3-3, that's for sure. But it was an exciting game, certainly last year, and some good football played, and big Dan Byrne popped up with a very, very late equaliser for us. So, it'll be a tough game, because they're a very, very hard-working team. You know, Steve Evans always gets his team set up to work their socks off for each other. And you know, so we know they'll do that, we're expecting that, and we know we need to match that.
Musa played 90 minutes for you, and he got his goal in the end. It's fair to say he missed a fair few chances, and you did say afterwards he needs to be slightly more clinical in front of goal. Where does that leave Cawley? Obviously he came and scored that last goal equaliser for you against Huddersfield.
Yeah, well they're both very different players with very different qualities, both excellent young strikers, you know, so it gives us different options off of the bench, whichever one of them, or if one of them is not playing, one's on the bench. They're very different players and bring different things. So you know, Cawley also, I'm very mindful, scored a wonderful go up at Rotherham last year with a left foot curling shot. So it's good. Again, like I say, the competition for places, you want in midfield with Tunners playing so well the other night, that's what you want up top as well, and you want it all over the field.
And finally, we can't go without mentioning the transfer window. You are looking to bring at least two or three more players in. How close are you?
Very, very close, yeah. So probably be one even playing tomorrow.
Well, we wish you luck.
Thank you.
Okay, we are back, and that's an interview done earlier with Kit Simons, and he dropped the bomb at the very end. You know, again, bad choice words. Just dropped the news, I should say, not bomb. Dropped the news at the very end that a player that could potentially be signed today could potentially play in the next match. And I have a feeling he's talking about James Husband, because right afterwards, James Husband was announced as a loan signing for Fulham. All right, Giannis, what did you take out of that interview with Kit?
Well, I'll tell you what, I love Sarah. I mean, she asks absolutely fantastic questions. And again, once again, she nailed it on the button. The question about Russ, it was his response, Kit's response was a read between the lines way of saying, Russ, we don't pay big money for you and pay your wages for you to think you can do everything on your own. Because remember, the mention of the word trusting your teammate, I thought, was absolutely critical. So yep. He thinks he has to do it all, and he's not fit. We know that he's not 100% fit. He feels he can do it all, and Kit's basically said, look, you do your damn job. You're the striker. Stick the ball in the net. Let the other people do it. You stay up top, because if you do, at the very least, you keep defenders honest. So I thought that was a great question, and I love the question about Cawley. Absolutely. Where does that put Cawley? Yes, I know they're different kinds of players, but they're not subtle differences. I think you know, good strikers are ones that make defenders think. You don't have to be the quickest or biggest or strongest. And Colley, for me, is a, as I've said it before, is a subtle striker I like, because he's very, very good at moving into space and into pockets. He didn't really answer the question about where does that put Colley. But I'm hoping, as I said, I'm hoping he plays tomorrow, because I think he complements Russ more than Musa does. And if Russ has taken it to heart in terms of the message that was relayed, it's no accident that he scored a couple on Tuesday, and I'm hoping he's going to have a streaky player anyway, but I'm hoping this jump starts his season.
I totally agree. And you know what? This goes back to the article that was on FoamFC.com where Ross McCormack is quoted as talking about this meeting with Kidd and talking about basically changing the way he's playing. You know, just staying up front, because I think he's best staying up front, let everyone else do what they need to do, and he just needs to do his job, and it should flow that way. And I find the whole thing fascinating, and glad that it was brought up again, because I think it's key. And then also what you mentioned about Colley Woodrow, I think, is was a very good takeaway as well. David, I know you only caught the end of it. What did you take from that interview with Kit?
Well, it's a bit of deja vu, really. We've had this situation last season where Ross McCormack saying he wants to play up front, and then he seems to play more up front after that. You know, and so what happened? Why have we gone, you know, retrograded back to where we were? Because basically the start of last season, I think he struggled a little bit, really. And then he obviously had a much better run when he was more forward, and we suddenly saw what a striker he was and how dangerous he was. So, you know, why has Kit done this? Why has Kit gone to a situation where he's asked, you know, Ross to play a little bit deeper? It's not rocket science, really, that you get him on the last man. That's where he's at his most dangerous. So that's kind of mystifies me a bit, that that was a lesson that we thought had been learnt last season, yet we seem to be going back to square one with that. But it's a good point about the strikers. I mean, yeah, Colley last season did score a nice goal at Rotherham. I was there myself. And obviously he scored a good goal, you know, an important goal, let's say, last Saturday against Huddersfield. So I think he would be feeling he's got, you know, justification for starting as well. And perhaps when you play away from home and everything, it's against a tough maybe side, maybe he's slight sort of, I don't know how much bigger he is than, he's probably not a lot bigger really than Dembele. Dembele's probably a little bit more solid, but Colley's a bit bigger. Perhaps Colley may act as a better foil to McCormack in this sort of say holding the ball up. So it's a difficult one for that, really. Obviously, in terms of the signings, I mean, Kit can only really be talking about Husband, because as someone playing tomorrow, because it's too late to announce anyone else now to play, unless there's someone who's signed and they're not announced them. I mean, it's too late for them to play for sure. So obviously there's another couple in there, and see, they know who it is, but we don't know who it is. But it could be any one or two from the names that we've mentioned already, really. So it'd be interesting to see who they are and to what part they have in the squad and what role they play. Because, you know, we have ample coverage in most positions. I think, obviously, at left back now we're okay. Right back is still a little bit sketchy. Obviously, Voza can act as cover there, of course, for Richard. And Bodiroff is fit as well, I suppose, as a cover. Even Tunnicliffe as well. But we haven't really got anyone great at right back. You know, we'll see with Grimmer being out long term. So it'd be interesting to see where they do make signings, because they talk about offering width, but I think they look at it the wrong way. We keep looking at trying to offer width in the midfield, but I think it's width from the back where we really need it. I think midfield is okay. We've got more than enough decent midfield players. You know, we've still got to try and fit Parker back into this team somehow. And judging by his performance on Tuesday night, Tunnicliffe as well, perhaps. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens tomorrow.
It is, and I'll be interested to hear your starting 11. Again, I should say, we're changing it this year. I'm just having you try to predict Kit's starting 11. If you disagree and you're going to say, I would have done this, please feel free to do that. We'll get to that shortly, and I'm just going to tell you briefly a little bit about Rotherham. You guys don't have to, talk too much about it. I'm just going to share what I've learned about them. I watched a little bit on them today, and I went on a great website. I recommend everyone going to whoscored.com. It really gives you some great stats and great previews, and it basically gives you this for team characteristics, characteristics of Rotherham. Their strengths are attack and set pieces, creating chances through individual skill, creating scoring chances and stealing the ball from the opposition. Rotherham's weaknesses are finishing scoring chances, avoiding offside, keeping possession of the ball, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas, avoiding individual errors, defending against attacks down the wings, which is interesting, and defending against skillful players. Their positions, again, when they're going forward, they do lean more left. They have 42% of the time, and in their last match, they were going down that side, the left-hand side, 42%. It makes sense. Last season, they had Ben Pringle, and they really worked on that side a great deal. So think about them going down the left-hand side tomorrow. All right, Giannis, I'm going to start with you. Let's now talk about Fulham going into this match. Who are your key players tomorrow for Fulham?
I just want to confirm they've just put up on the website that Husband has signed on loan.
Okay.
It has been confirmed. Husband has actually described Fulham as, quote, the perfect place to play his football. So clearly Barcelona's not in his anytime soon. Key players for Fulham. I think that, well, Jamie O'Hara didn't play on Tuesday night, and he's had a fantastic start to the season. So I'm expecting him to start in the middle of Lasse. I think the central midfield will be the key, see if they can distribute the ball. And if Russ is not going to come back and he's going to actually do his job, he's got a lot more of the ball. So I think service certainly from the middle and potentially from wide. I mean, you know, how is he going to play the wide players tomorrow? Who is he going to play? We're not sure. But I think the keys are going to be Jamie and Lasse to provide the sort of service for the strikers to feed off. And I'm hoping with the confidence that Russ now has from the two goals he scored on Tuesday night, this will help us. Because Rotherham were struggling. And
yeah.
Really, they were a little bit fortunate not to get relegated last year. I don't really see a lot in their lineup to worry us. I know it's away from home. It's an extremely winnable game. And I'm sure that Kit would be very disappointed if we don't get anything but 3 points tomorrow.
I totally agree with you. Let me throw out this scenario. This is something that I talked to Matt Smith about yesterday. And it does involve LVC and then, of course, Tom Kearney. Giannis, would you consider moving them, changing their positions? You know, again, because LVC has played on the right. He's played strong on the right. I know that many see him as a central midfielder, but he can play on the right, and Kearney always seems to want to go central. Does it make sense to potentially move them?
Wouldn't do it. And the reason
is
because, no, I wouldn't. You see, that's the problem we've run into, I think, in the last 2 or 3 years as a club, is playing players out of natural position. Now, that's not the same as saying, well, players should have the ability to play two or three positions at least competently. But in terms of where their natural environment is, and to me, Lasse is a central player. And I think it takes a special kind of player to be a central midfielder. I've always subscribed to the fact that, to me, the toughest position on the pitch is being a central midfielder, because if the defenders are in trouble, you know that the central midfielders have got to be somewhere, and if the strikers aren't getting the supply, central midfielders behind that too. So for me, I would keep Lasse there. Kearney, I think it's one of those things where you've got to look at the philosophy. I agree with what was said earlier. I think we're far too narrow. But then this is something that we've suffered from in the last 2-3 years again. You know, we don't seem to have any sort of width. And in this division last year, we got torched by teams like Bournemouth and by Watford. And simply because their width, even Brentford,
right,
their width just destroyed us because they went at our fullbacks. And yet we don't have a willingness to try the same. So I would keep Kearney exactly where he is. Alternatively, I'd like to see is there a possibility that in the transfer deadline we actually pick up an out-and-out winger, where actually now we're forced, or Kit is forced to expand the play on the pitch. And that I'd like to see if we could possibly do it.
Very interesting take there, Giannis. All right, David, over to you. Who are your key players tomorrow?
I think Jamie O'Hara, assuming he comes back. I think James Husband, assuming he's playing, because I think he can offer so much more at left back that, you know, defensively it will tighten us up. Because everything, a lot of goals we've conceded have all come through that kind of left back channel, really. And I think he can, you know, he can get forward. But also, I'm hoping Ben Pringle as well, because I think, you know, he has an extra kind of incentive maybe to perform going back
to his
old club.
That's a very good point, David. Yeah.
So I think he'll be buoyed on by the fact that he was back in the team on Tuesday, and I think, you know, he was involved in the first goal for McCormack. So I think three left-footers for me, O'Hara, Pringle and Husband would be the three I'll be looking to first.
Okay, very good. And David, let's focus on Pringle and also on James Husband, because I think it's a very good point by you. I think Pringle benefits the most by James Husband coming to form.
Certainly, because then Pringle doesn't feel the pressure to be an out-and-out winger, because he's not really an out-and-out winger. He gives him the opportunity to do two things. With Kyvosa sitting back, Pringle's either got to try and take it on his own, outside or inside, but with an overlapping player, he has the option to release the ball or go himself or come inside. I think, you know, it adds an extra string to the bow. So that's what you want. And I say, this is all this question about width again. If you're not a naturally wide player, if you don't necessarily want to go wide, you need people who do go wide. You know, I mean, even Man United got away with it because Ashley Young used to play on the left and he was always coming inside on his right foot. But he had people like Patrice Evra who would overlap him, and he could often slip the ball wide to him and it would still offer the width. And that's a situation, kind of same situation you need, where you have the option to go both ways, whether it's through your own efforts or through a combination of your teammates as well.
That's a good point, David. That's why I wanted to bring that up, because, again, it goes back to talking about the fullbacks. Can the fullbacks get forward and also track back? We're talking about Ashley Richardson, now James Husband. I feel good about James Husband going forward. I want to see Ashley Richardson go more forward. I know that defense is his number one priority, but I would like to see him get forward because, like you said, I think we need his width and his ability to offer us some width, that overlapping, because Kearney cuts in. All right. All right, David, right back to you. What do Fulham need to do to win this match tomorrow?
I think we need to score at least twice. I'm not sure if we can keep a clean sheet. I mean, based on last year's high-scoring draw, I think we need to score twice to win the game.
Okay, very good. Giannis, over to you.
I think I agree. I think we should score at least two goals, but I think we need to do a much better job of pressing up the pitch. I find that our build-up play is far too ponderous. It's too slow. And based on the premise that the ball is always going to travel quicker than the man, I think we've got enough speed and enough savvy in this team to play an up-tempo, high-tempo game, but we always seem to slow it down. And it doesn't... Again, it's a problem, I think, that's gone back 2-3 years. We're so predictable to watch. You know, it's slow, it's laborious. And I think we need to start utilizing some speed, and we do have some speed, and see if we can do that. Just, you know, I'd like to see us push that defensive line up a little bit higher. Let's press them a little bit more, give Rotherham less space and less time, force them into early mistakes, see if we can keep possession, capitalize, and take shots. And that's what we need to do, because I think that's the sign of a good team, is one that's willing to play with confidence. One that doesn't have so much confidence, you know, it knocks it about slow, but it's not really going anywhere. It's sort of pretty patterns. You want to be able to dictate the tempo of play, or as old Mr. Mark Hughes used to say, asking questions of the opposition. And that's what I think we need to do tomorrow. And if we can do that, I don't see any reason why we can't get the 3 points.
Okay, very good. Very good there, Giannis. Right back to you. Give me the starting 11 that you think Kit's going to use tomorrow, and then if you disagree with what you think he's going to do, please share.
This is the one that I think he'll put in.
This is what you're predicting Kit's going to do. And
okay,
you know, instead of giving what you would do, give what you think he's going to do, and then add to what you would do in its place.
Okay, the back four I think he will play be Richards at right back, Husband at left back, Tim Ream in the middle, with Bodurov. Midfield.
Bodurov, I think, is going to be out, by the way, Giannis.
Oh, okay. So in which case it'll be Hutchinson.
Okay.
The midfield will be O'Hara and Lasevegan in the middle. You'll have Kearney on one side, Pringle on the other, and McCormack up front with Moussa Dembele. That's the 11 I think he'll pick.
Okay. And is there something that you would do differently than you think he's going to do?
Yes, I would. I would put Dan Burn at the back with Tim Ream. I would leave the midfield as is, and I would put Corley in there instead of Moussa.
Very interesting. Okay, so you're very high on Cauley, and
I
see where you're going on that. Cauley offers something different. They, you know, it's funny, both of these young strikers offer something different, so I see why you would go in that direction. I could go for Moussa Dembele. I could go for either one, but I see you're definitely favoring Cauley, and understandable. Yep. David, over to you.
Well, the one thing I'd do differently to Yanis is I'd pick a goalkeeper as well, because obviously it helps normally keeping
the
score down.
Oh, God. I didn't pick anyone, so I'll pick Gordon Banks. How about that?
Well, there is a choice of Lonergan or Lewis, but I assume it would be Lonergan. So for me, Russ, I want to pick a mad lineup for myself, not what Kit would pick.
Okay. Go mad.
Okay, this is just I just want to throw something out there and see what you think. It's probably complete madness, but I'm sure he won't pick this, but it's because I can't decide between Cauley and Moussa. This is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Lonergan in goal, Richards, Ream, Byrne, and Husband, and to retain them. Right, centre two midfield, Ryan Tunnicliffe and Jamie O'Hara. That will allow Ryan Tunnicliffe can do what he did the other night, O'Hara will have the freedom to go forward more and to be more creative. In front of them, a three of Pringle, Kearney, and LVC.
Interesting.
And sole striker up front, Ross McCormack, which means I couldn't decide the other two, so we leave them both on the bench. And if it all goes pear-shaped, go back to kind of more of a 4-4-2.
I like it, David. I actually like it. I like thinking, you know, again, differently than how Kit's been playing. You're basically changing the formation. I like it. I actually do like it. Giannis, real quick, your thoughts on what David just shared.
I still think it's a little narrow, and I'm not so sure about putting Tunnicliffe in there, because again I'm going to temper this with the knowledge that we were playing against a reserve side on Tuesday night. Tunnicliffe played well, don't get me wrong, but they made 11 changes from their lineup on Saturday, and so I don't want to get too high after Tuesday's victory. It was just in the League Cup against Sheffield United B. So I would keep Lasser and Jamie O'Hara in there as they're comfortable, and just give Russ a partner up front just to take a little bit of the heat off him.
Okay. So we agree to disagree. David, very interesting thinking outside the box, and Giannis shares his thoughts. Any final thoughts before we go to predictions, David?
No, I mean, my one would involve obviously McCormack being the focal point for bringing Pringle, Kearney, and LVC into play. And with LVC... Okay. With Jamie O'Hara freed up a little bit because Tunnicliffe doing the dirty work, I'm hoping we'll be more creative. And yes, we would be relying on the fullbacks for width, but I'm taking it as read that with James Husband in the team, he will offer the overlapping width at least on one side, and maybe Ashley Richards on the other side. So, I mean, I'm sure that won't be picked, but I just see that as perhaps being a thinking outside the box, something different that maybe will catch Rotherham out as well tomorrow.
Listen, it's definitely thinking outside the box, and I'm glad that you brought that to the table. Guys, we have less than 2 minutes to go, so real quick, Giannis, over to you for your prediction, and is this a must-win?
Well, I'll go second first. Absolutely. It is a six-pointer. I have no doubts about it. Do I think we're going to – I think we're going to nick it 1-0, but I think we have to win it. I have to. I mean, a draw is going to look miserable, because that'll be 3 points from what, five games, six games? Not going to look good. I think we'll win tomorrow. I think we'll nick it, but I do think it's a must-win game.
Okay, very good. David, we only have a minute left. Real quick prediction, and is it a must-win?
Yeah, it's a must-win for Kit as much as the team, I think. So for me, fingers crossed, we can nick it 2-1.
Okay. I think it's a must-win as well. I am going to go with Mike Gregg and agree with him on that. And I'm going to go with you, David, 2-1. And two goals from Ross McCormack. I have to go there, David. Sorry. I have to go back. I have to do it. All right. All right, guys. Excellent show, David. Welcome back, as always. Hope you're feeling
welcome
better.
Back,
Giannis,
guys.
It's always great to have you on, my friend. I love
having you
on.
Thank you, Mikey.
All right. I've got to wrap this up. For David and Giannis, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Giannis. Great to speak to you, Giannis.
Thanks,
Russ, you too, mate.
Speak to
you,
mate.
Bye.
Bye.